Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now let's go into the service for today's message.
I want to tell you that you guys are in for a tremendous treat. I had asked, because of my surgery schedule, I had no idea I was going to feel so fantastic today. I wasn't sure. And so I'd asked Pastor Chris to prepare and bring the message this morning, and he did a fantastic job. Get ready to be blessed. He is an executive pastor. He's a man of God. He's our friend. Pastor Chris Cobb, come on, share the word of God with us.
Amen. How y'all doing this morning? Yes. Is God good? Yes. I just want to ditto, you know, Pastor David, I really believe our church's finest hour is yet to come. Yes. You know, we're told that God said, I mean, his Bible says that that he is going to be pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. Yes. Amen. And so the main thing, we'll keep it as the main thing. And I know personally, if I can just share a minute, there are thousands of people waiting for us. Mm. Broken people that are right on the fence, and I can give you several names of individuals who were deeply embedded in a lifestyle that they were confused in and looking for a way out, and God was faithful. They're waiting on us. And there's going to be some that are pretty hard, but you know what? I believe, just like Jesus wept over Jerusalem, that God is looking for a church that will weep for those whose eternal state is not good. So let's be in prayer for this Bay Area, for the people around us, and God's going to keep the main thing, the main thing. And by the way, Pastor David says he doesn't fear anything. Don't mess with Pastor David. Don't mess with Pastor David. Years ago, we were standing on the steps of Evangel. I believe it was 96 or 97. You and I were standing on the steps of Evangel, and we were talking about whatever, and a guy gets out of his car. He pulls right up in front, jumps out of the car, comes right up to us. Who's the senior pastor here? He was hot. He was upset. Pastor David steps right up. Oh, I am. And the guy starts to rail on him and get upset. And he says, I'm a black belt. And Pastor David steps right up into his face and says, well, I'm a no belt. And the guy didn't know how to respond. So he spun around, got in his car and drove away. Don't mess. Don't mess with Pastor David. Amen. We love you. God bless you. Heal up soon. You know, remember, was it? Maybe I embellished. Preachers don't do that. Amen. Hey, listen, let's go to the, let's talk. Everybody say, let's talk. Let's get back on the main thing this morning. Several months ago, Pastor David started a whole series on discussions that apply to everybody at different times, different situations. We talked about all attitudes. We talked about failure. Talked about a lot of the different subjects on here, forgiveness. And Pastor David interviewed a number of individuals and just brought it right down to home. Has that been good, Gateway, to just really capture that and to see what God is doing in people's lives? He asked me to share on the word that's on the lower left, on the bottom, freedom. Everybody say freedom. So I want to share this morning here just for a few minutes on the subject of freedom is a choice. Let's all say that out loud together. Freedom is a choice. You have a choice today to be free. And in this room, you may know Jesus Christ as your Lord. You're living in a free country and you say, thank God for that. But there are people here today, you're battling areas in your life where you wish, you desire, you pray, you hope there was more of a sense of freedom, either mentally or physically, emotionally, in your relationships, financially. So I want to talk to you this morning, and I would encourage you that you have a choice today to walk out of those doors different than when you came in. There's a breakthrough anointing, I believe, in the house this day. We celebrated the Declaration of Independence yesterday, but how many know that there is a continual declaration of the works of Jesus Christ that's available to us today? Speaking of the Declaration of Independence, yesterday was 239 years ago where 56 men got together. And look it up on the screen here. 239 years ago yesterday, 56 men made a choice to sign the Declaration of Independence. And before the ink was dry, the British government already had set a bounty upon the signers of that declaration. So they figured out who was there of those 56 men. But those gentlemen in the Declaration of Independence, everybody listen here, there was 27 indictments against the British government for the tyranny that they were usurping over the people, the colonies at that time. And they made a decision that we're not going to live under the tyranny, but we're going to see the freedom that our country, we desire in this country. And they knew that when they put their names on that Declaration of Independence, that they were committing high treason. And the penalty of that was to be hung. And so even before the ink was dry, there was a bounty set on these men's names and their lives. And let me read to you what happened to these guys after they signed this Declaration of Independence. Of those 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence, 9 died of wounds or hardship during the war. 5 were captured and imprisoned, in each case with brutal treatment. Several lost wives, sons, or entire families. 1 lost his 13 children. 2 wives were brutally treated. All were at one time or another the victims of manhunts driven from their homes. 12 signers had their homes completely burned down. 17 lost everything they owned. I'm talking about the price of freedom. Yet not one defected or went back on his pledged word. Their honor and the nation they sacrificed so much to create is still today intact. Can somebody say thank God for the courage and the boldness of these men to sign something that says it's going to cost me my life, it's going to cost me my property, it's going to cost everything I have, but I'm going to live free. Can you say amen? And you see, you can choose today to be free as well. Because you see, even before this Declaration of Independence, there was another Declaration of Independence 2,000 years ago when Jesus of Nazareth decided to obey the Father, go to the cross, and on the cross, let's all say this out loud together, it is finished. There was a declaration that circled the earth that was heard up in heaven and in the courts of hell where Jesus said, justice was made, the appeasement for sin has been satisfied, it is done, freedom is now available to all people throughout all history. You now have available to you the freedom from sin, the freedom from bondage, the freedom from satanic control, from addictions, from alcoholism, from abuse. You now have freedom from poverty, freedom from everything that the enemy or sin could bring upon mankind. It is finished. So say it. It is finished. It is done. The problem, though, is that a lot of times we don't really experience the fact that it is finished. Did you know your sins were nailed to the cross? You see, it says in Colossians chapter 2 that the handwriting of ordinances that were against us were already nailed to the cross. Everything you've done, everything you will do, everything past, etc. My list was, I don't know about you, mine was pretty long. But I thank God that the Lord took that, nailed it to the cross. And I don't know how it works, but the blood of Jesus washes away. It's nothing but the blood. The blood of Jesus that washed away. The proclamation of emancipation was declared 2,000 years ago. I am free. But did you know also here that your name, when you are born again, you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord. Luke chapter 10 verse 20 says that your name is written in the book of life. Your name may not have been on the Declaration of Independence, but in the courts of heaven, your name's already written down. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord, your name has been written down. And when you received him and confessed him as Lord, there was a signing there that took place, and all the angels saw it. They rejoiced. The Father saw it. Jesus saw it. And hell and Satan and the devil saw it, and all the demons. And so your name is marked. You go down into hell, and your name, you got the side profile, like at a post office there. You're marked. But how many know that you're marked by the blood of Jesus as well? And you see, the point in bringing this up here is that you are legally set free from all bondage, from addictions, from alcohol. You legally, all the provision that you would ever experience to need freedom has already been made available. The question, though, this morning here, have you made the choice to receive that? I want to talk to you about that here for a few minutes this morning. Everybody say, freedom is a choice. Freedom is a choice. It is available. Pastor David sent out a note on Facebook here a couple of weeks ago and asked the question, how do you experience freedom when there's trials or bondages or challenges within our lives. A couple of people responded. One gentleman said, I surrender on my face before the Lord and thank him for setting me free. Another lady said, I read the scripture and I see the truth as God says, and just spending time in his presence, I see freedom in my life. Another individual said, the key is knowing. I was bound by depression, but once I knew the truth, everybody say, knew the truth. Once I knew the truth, his word, I was delivered. Another person said, the Holy Spirit started guiding me to the place of worship. Every time I felt weak, I began to worship, and Jesus became my powerful King. Let me ask you here this morning here, and just stop and think. In this room here, what are the greatest challenges or the greatest challenge in your personal life or your family life in this last, so say, 6 months, this last six or year or so? And then the question is what choices have you made about that? You see, you are a sum total today of the choices that you've made. You don't have control over all the choices that are impounded upon you, but your response to them, you have total control over those. You can make those. Everybody say, freedom is a choice. And there is available today in this room the anointing to set people free from bondage, from alcoholism, from domestic violence, from all types of abuse, from all types of mental, physical, emotional issues in your life. If you believe and you make the decision to choose freedom. Can you say amen? Amen. Pastor David asked me to interview my wife, Carol. She's not here this morning. She's on vacation. And I remember very clearly there was a day back at Evangel, and we had a time of testimonies. And I stood up and I said, I just want to thank God that my wife drove to the grocery store today. And people kind of said, well, so what? Well, it was the first time she drove in about 4 or 5 years. Because long time ago, back in the early 80s, when we had our little church, her sister, Lori, came to the church, loved God, read the Bible, prayed, everything was good. Then all of a sudden, one day, the lights went out. And she ended up in a mental institute, schizophrenic, highly sedated, and it was a bad, bad situation. Hard, hard mental illness for years, and still that way. And some of the same characteristics, circumstances, started to happen to my wife a couple of the years after that. And we've never really shared the whole story. My wife has a book called Get the Hell Out of Your Mind, and you can get it on Amazon, and it's her story. But there were some dark years in the Cobb house where my wife, I thought I was going to lose my wife to mental illness. And I pleaded with God. It was hard. I mean, anybody ever been there where you just get your, you don't know, you don't have the answer. You don't know what to do. But you just say, God, I need a miracle. But you see, even in that situation, we had to make a choice to believe God. Go ahead and lower the lights here and let's watch the interview of my wife here, Victory in Her Mind.
Hey, Gateway, Pastor Chris here. It's July 5th. We're sharing on a Sunday morning. And my lovely wife, who I'm going to interview here in a few minutes, is on vacation. So we're pre-recording this here so that we could get your interview and tell us your story.
I am virtually here.
You're virtually here. You know, there's a lot of people out there today that have areas in your life that have been a challenge in the past or are currently major challenges. I remember back years ago, in fact, it was in the 80s.
1984.
Mm-hmm. Things started to change in mm-hmm. your life dramatically.
Yeah.
Tell us what happened.
Well, I have a younger sister who had been diagnosed as manic depressive. And when she moved out of the house after high school and got her own place, then she started manifesting, you know, kind of getting paranoid delusions that people were following her and that kind of stuff. Anyway, a few years after that, it was a stressful time in my life, and all of a sudden I noticed that I was starting to experience a lot of the same things that she had struggled with. And it was like, over a very short period of time, a lot of things, well, now I know what it is now, but then I had no clue why all of a sudden I started, you know, started developing panic attacks, why I was feeling like my mind wasn't working right, why I was having, you know, nightmares and tormenting dreams and thoughts and things like this. And I was just kind of like, oh my gosh, I'm a Christian. I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. I go to church. I read my Bible. I do all the stuff I'm supposed to do. Why is this happening to me? Yeah. And it was very stressful at first because I could not understand what was going on. Because, you know, we were never taught at that time. There was no knowledge really of deliverance and inner healing in the church, at least not in our crowd that we ran around with.
So you begin to have some major mental challenges.
Issues,
and
mental...
you tried to explain it to me, and I didn't understand.
You didn't get it.
But I gradually started over the years, began to drift away. Mm-hmm. You lost a lot of weight. You didn't drive for many years. We had six kids.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure on the family here. Mm-hmm. But what was a turning point for you? Tell us what happened, because there were some things that happened.
Well, what happened was that, you know, after you get over the initial shock of what's going on, I mean, I was battling suicidal thoughts, I was battling all kinds of torment, and somehow underneath it all, I knew that it was demonic. I don't know how, but that's just, I knew there's demons in here involved in this business somewhere. So that's kind of why I made the decision for myself that I didn't want to take any medication, because in my mind, all that was going to do is add another layer of confusion to, was it me? Is it the medicine? Is it a demon? What's going on? I didn't need any more confusion. For some people it helps. For me, I just made the choice that I knew what was going on. I didn't think medicine was going to help me. So I just began to confess the word. I began to pray. I began to do the things that I knew to do. But it didn't really get better until our friend Robert Ellender, we had a friend, mm-hmm. Minister from Louisiana, who knew something about deliverance. And I had people who'd prayed with me previously, and they kind of, you know, here, Carol, be better, be warm, be filled, and you go away and you're not better. And then I always felt really bad because, well, they prayed, how come I'm not better? I felt like there was something wrong with me.
But even after that, let me interrupt you, because even I remember, even after a lot of the prayers for deliverance, you still battled.
I did, because there was a lot of stuff there. Because we didn't know what to call it. You didn't know what to name it. There was nobody I could go to and say, why is this happening to me, who could give me an answer.
But you wrote a book recently, and the name of the book is Get the Hell Out of Your Mind.
Yes.
Because you we're talking about freedom as a choice. Mm-hmm. You made some choices.
I made some choices, yeah.
What were some of those choices?
Well, I made the choice, number one, to trust God. Because I felt like God was the only one who could deliver me from where I was at and who could take me to a better place.
So trust God.
Trust God. That involved several aspects, you know, believing His word, for one thing. The word of God became my lifeline, mm-hmm. where it was truth. And I had to get to the place where anything that contradicted the truth of the word, I just had to say, no, I can't go there.
Anything that contradicted
the truth of the word, I said, I can't go there.
So you made a choice.
I made a choice. Every day I had to make a choice to believe that there was hope, that things would change, that God was going to get me out, that His word said that He would never leave me or forsake me, that I'd been given authority over all the power of the enemy, that I was a new creation in Christ, that I had been given the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. All these were things I would confess and pray, and you know, we got into the area of deliverance. That's how you ended up writing your book. Was you practiced on me?
Yeah, we practiced on you. But I remember talking about this with you years ago, how that in the middle of the very, very difficult times, you started to choose.
I chose.
Yeah,
it had to be a choice because it wasn't anything you felt like doing. I had to choose to have a right attitude because, you know, the temptation was to feel resentful and angry that, well, this isn't fair. This ought not to be happening to mm-hmm. me because I didn't do anything wrong, at least in my understanding. Mm-hmm. Then we started getting the understanding of generational curses and inner healing issues, and I began to realize, well, maybe there's more going on here than I thought. And so, but still, I had to make the choice. I had to make the choice to say, no, God, I trust you. No, God, I believe your word. Yeah. I don't care what I feel like. I don't care what it looks like. I'm going to have a right attitude. I'm not going to allow myself to become resentful or angry or bitter, or I can't go there. I have to
trust. So each step of the
trust,
way,
yeah,
I had to make choices.
I had to make choices.
So we got people sitting here today in the congregation. It might be a marriage issue. It might be something of family or financial or relational. What would you say to them would be some keys? Because we're talking about freedom is a choice. What would
boils down. It says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Okay.
So knowing the truth and allowing it to make you free. It can't be just something that you know intellectually in your mind. It has to be something you're committed to doing. Because mm-hmm. part of knowing is doing. If you really believe that it's true, then it's something you will orient your life around. You'll make the choice to do what it says if you believe that it's true.
And I remember during the 90s and then in the early 2000s, I began to see a change in you. Mm-hmm. It took time. It wasn't an instantaneous miracle.
No.
But you're a different lady today than you were.
Thank God for that.
20 years ago. But it all comes down to, and this is the thing I hope we can share with the people, is there's hope to make a choice.
I don't have panic attacks anymore. I have been all over the world. I have been to Africa, I've been to Samoa, I've been to Mexico, I've been all of these different places. I don't have panic attacks anymore. I don't have the torment in my mind anymore. I don't have the feeling that things are not working right up here. I don't have that anymore. Because God's word is true.
God's word
it
is
works.
True.
I chose the word. I made the choice to do the word, to believe the word, to act on the word, and it bore fruit. And the fruit that it bore was freedom.
And that freedom is still available to the people of Gateway today.
It is.
Well, God bless you. You're going to be on vacation soon. So
I'm,
have a good
I'm
time.
Gone, yes.
You're
I'm
gone.
Gone having a good time.
All right. Let's go back to the show.
Amen. Sincerely, I know we got some chuckles in there, but God gave me my wife back. And I'm very grateful for that. But I tell you, there's something inside me. See, we had to engage darkness. We had to engage with the lie. We had to, and it took prayer. We had to, because we knew that Jesus said it was finished, that it was already available. And I really want to encourage you here, like I said earlier, there are people right here in this room today. You've got challenges in your life. I encourage you to make a decision, a choice to engage truth. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. No negotiation, no compromise. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God for my wife. God bless you. She's now working on another book called Apostolic Woman, Devil Look Out. I tell you what. So I thank God for that. Hey, in the time remaining, I want to talk to you about four decisions that you can make this morning. That I encourage you to do. And the premise of those four decisions is based on the story that most of us in the room know. It's a story about the guy that was paralyzed and that four friends picked him up and brought him to be in front of Jesus, and they found the place was packed and they couldn't get in, so they took him over the roof and opened up their ceiling and they brought him down into the presence of Christ. So most of us know this story. It's very simple. But embedded in this story here are four truths that we're going to dig out that I believe that if we appropriate in within our own life here, that we'll see a tremendous release of breakthrough within our lives. Okay, so I'm going to read this out loud. If you can read it with me, that would be fine. Ready to go. Some men came bringing to Jesus a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. Then I'm going to skip to verse 11, where we are told that Jesus said to the man, let's read this out loud together. I tell you, get up, take up your mat, and go home. He got up, took up his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. Four decisions that you can choose today. So here we have this guy. Let me set the stage. This guy's paralyzed. Jesus comes into town. The place is packed out. And these buddies of his heard about Jesus being in the house. And so they made a decision to go down and to try to help this guy out. The first choice that this man made, and I'm going to call him Larry, just for the point of discussion, if I can do so this morning. I'm just going to call him Larry. I don't know his name. We don't know his name. But the first choice that he made, though, here was the choice to trust others to support and help you. The first choice was that he was there, and these guys come up to him. And now we don't know what it said. We don't have the discourse of these gentlemen here. But we do know this, that Larry here, he could have said, guys, go to your meeting. I've heard about this Jesus, but I'm just going to stay here. I'm resigned to my fate. I'm just going to resign that I'm a victim of my circumstances, and I'm going to isolate myself away in my pain, go ahead and go, and whatever, that sounds good for you, but I'm going to stay where I'm at. See, he could have said that. Now, we don't know what all took place, but somehow he allowed these guys to carry him up. Can you imagine about that? Up over the wall, down through the, guys, don't drop me, please. So whatever the discussion was, we don't know, but somehow we know that there was a choice where he made a decision to trust others. That is why we have fellowship. That's why we have small groups. That's why we get together, so that we can support one another. I need you guys. You need me. We need one another. That's why we have small group ministry here at Gateway. And it used to be where we would just, you know, if you guys want to, if you desire. But as the days draw closer, more and more, Pastor David, I'm sensing almost an urgency that, hey, guys, we need to be together. It's like it says in Genesis, God saw man that he was alone, and he said it's not good. Ecclesiastes says, woe to the man that is by himself, or to the woman when there's a need, because they need help within their lives. You see, what happens many times in our culture is that we isolate ourselves away in pain and in anguish and sorrow, and we don't take that step to say, I need help. Our pride, our whatever, sometimes gets in the way here. This guy here, he allowed these guys to help them. Look at your neighbor and say to them, I need you. I need you. That's where our prayer is that every one of you here be a part of our small group ministry and be an answer to someone else. And when you need prayer, that we can pray for you and everybody stays connected. Can everybody say amen? Okay, choice number two. Now watch this. Jesus said to Larry, he made the statement, get up, take up your mat, and go back to your house here. Choice number two was that Larry, in this example here, he made the choice to stand up when he was down. You have the choice to stand up in your life circumstances as compared to staying seated as to where you're at, figuratively. So here's Larry. Jesus comes to him and he says, he saw the roof busted up and he saw the guy on this mat. And Jesus said to this guy, stand up. And now, can you imagine? Here's this guy laying on the mat and he's looking up at Jesus. He could have made the choice to say, hey, can't you see that I'm paralyzed? Can't you see that I'm on this mat? These guys carried me all the way in here because I couldn't walk and I needed to get into your presence and they said you would heal me. So you're wanting me to stand up? You're wanting me to do something? You see, there comes a point in a person's life where God does what he does, and then he expects you to do what he wants you to do. Amen? You see, there comes a point where a person realizes that God has made available to you promises, provisions. The covenant has already been made. The sacrifice has been offered. And he said, it's finished. And he says, now you stand up. Arise and shine, for your light has come. Stand up in your marriage. Stand up in your workplace. Stand up in your family. Stand up based upon those decisions that you've made to allow yourself to be lower than where God has called you to be. One of the primary terms for a curse in the Old Testament is to live lower than where God has designed you to live. Because we allow, life's hard. We get beaten down. We get discouraged. There's challenges. And let me tell you, I've been there. During those times when my wife went through mental illness, the temptation was to sit down spiritually and just say, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. But God would say, get up and fight. Get up. Don't allow the circumstances to bring you down. Make a choice to rise up. The Bible says that we've been raised up. We're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. You see, what God is wanting to do in this day and hour is cause the people of Gateway to stand up, to rise up, to take that place where you are called to walk in your purpose and your destiny. I feel like preaching a little bit, Pastor David, because you see, there's a place in God where we can stand in the provision of God, regardless of what circumstances are going on around us here today. The question that he said to Larry, or the statement he said to Larry, was to stand up. And there was something that happened in this man. We don't know. It's not written down exactly what took place. But there was somehow a decision made within this man that was on this mat where he said, you want me to stand? I'm going to respond. Yes. And whether he moved his big toes or whether I don't know. I got a story to tell. It's gonna take me a couple minutes and I'm just gonna be a bunny trail. You remember Victor Hassan? Pastor Apostle say, Victor Hassan. Victor Hassan is the guy that we've known for years. One day, he could not walk. He could not move his head over a period of years because blood vessels were around his spine and his neck. Making a long story short, they found out that if he turned his head wrong and burst a blood vessel, an artery, he could die. So they did emergency surgery, Stanford Hospital head surgeon. After he woke up, they said, we got good news and bad news. The good news is we got all the arteries around your spine and your neck here, and they're all dislocated or all pulled away, whatever. Grant, you know all the technical terms, what that means. But essentially, but the bad news is we had to cut the nerve between your head and the rest of your body in order to save your life. And basically, they resigned the fact that his body was not going to work. And he was laying there, and as they said this, Victor said that he could not feel his legs. But how many know we got a God who can heal? How many know that we got a God who can take the nerve that has been damaged and do reconstructive work? How many know that there's a God who said, call upon me, and when I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. So they take Victor back to his room, and the doctors were expecting him to be paralyzed from his legs down from that point on. But Victor began to cry out to God because he knew that there's a God, and he had a choice to make to either stay there or to stand up. And what happened was after 3 hours, he began to move his toes. And the nurse came in, they saw that. The next day, and I was standing by Victor's bed when the head surgeon of Stanford walks in and says with three other doctors and said, I hear you can move your legs. And there's Victor flopping his legs up and down. And the guys dropped their jaws because they saw right in front of them a miracle of God because a man made a choice that I am not going to stay this way. He began to call out to God. And you see, God can do the same thing for you. Larry didn't stay there. He made a choice. And as soon as that choice was made, I believe the power of God, Apostle C, hit his legs and the two joined together and the power demonstration of God's kingdom was realized in his body. My question to you this morning is, what areas in your life have been a challenge and what areas do you need to stand up and you say, you know what, I'm tired of living in the place where I've been, in discouragement, in depression, in battles, in loneliness, whatever it may be, and I'm going to stand up and walk. And I'm going to take those steps in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Number three, the third choice. Was it? Yeah, that's number three. This one, third choice. The choice to roll up your past limitations and crippled identity. Jesus said, okay, you're standing up now, but I want you to roll up your mat. And here's Larry. Now, we know the story. He rolled it up and he was set free, etc. But he could have said, hey, this mat that I came in on, you don't understand. If you want me to roll it up, that means the guys that brought me in here are going to need to let go of the rope. And if that takes place, how am I going to get out of here? Because this place is packed with people on the inside and the outside. And I could just see these thoughts going through our head, going through his head. Because you see, his expectation was, this is how I came in, and that's how I was going to go home. You see, many times we come in one way to church, and Jesus wants to do something so that you leave differently than when you came in. And you see, what happened was Jesus already had this planned out. The guy came in through the roof, but Jesus already knew he was going to go through the front door when he was done. And what happened was Larry had to make a choice to not only see these guys let go, but he had to roll up his mat. And I could just see Larry thinking, you know what? That mat, you want me to roll it up? That mat, I've lived a long time on that mat. That mat was my identity. That mat was my comfort. Like it says in Job chapter 7, my couch, my mat, it consoled me. It was my comfort. I consulted on it. You see, because Larry could have resigned himself that this is what I have in life, just to have this mat. And now you want me to take it and roll it up? You see, everybody in this room, we all have a story. Some of us, it could have been a failed marriage, a failed business. We could have failed relationships. There could be health issues. There could be past failures, shame, all kinds of hurt within our lives. We could be the victims of, well, I've been hurt. I pray you get healed of the hurt. But at some point, you make the decision to roll it up and not let it dominate your life any longer. By him rolling it up, it was a prophetic statement saying, I'm going to carry this mat. It's not going to carry me any longer. I'm still going to use this mat once in a while to lay down at night, but I'm going to carry it. I'm going to have dominion over it. It's not going to rule over me. And you see, there's areas in your life here that God's going to use, but it's not going to have the dominion and control over you. You can make the choice today when you walk out of those doors here that you can be free mentally, emotionally, from marriage issues, divorce issues, family issues, whatever. It's your choice. It's already available to you. And I pray you make the choice to take your mat, to roll it up and say, you know what? I'm free. The past is gone behind me. And if anybody is in Christ, they're a new person. Old things are passed away. Can somebody say amen this morning? The last choice that Larry had to make here, Jesus said, get up, roll up your mat, and step out and go when there seems to be no way. Now, what was Jesus thinking? I mean, here's this guy, Lord, and he says to him, he had already seen that these guys had to help him, but Jesus put three demands on this gentleman laying on the mat. I want you to get up, roll that thing up, and I want you to go. Larry could have said, you know what? Whoa, Jesus, look at it. There's how many people are in this room here right now? There's the door. There's people on the outside. There are barriers for me being able to go. You told me to go. There are people there I can't go through. See, visually speaking, in our own lives, we see sometimes nothing but barriers. I don't have the proper training. I don't have the proper education. I've been through such and such and such, and I see these barriers for me fulfilling what God has called me to be. And we see those limitations, and Jesus doesn't even, he looks beyond those, and he says, Larry, I want you to go. How many know on those words, go, you have the anointing, and you have the authority, and you have the disposition of the kingdom of God available to you. Everybody say, go, go. There are people in this room today where God has called you to go do something awesome and great for God. He has called you to go and stand up and take ownership of your marriage, take ownership of your destiny, take ownership of what God has called you to be, your purpose. And you see, sometimes we're holding back because all we see is barriers. But how many know that the gentleman that was standing next to Larry is the one that said, behold, I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? How many know that the one standing right next to Larry was the one in Isaiah that says, I make a way where there seems to be no way? How many know that the guy standing next to Larry is the guy that opened up the Red Sea so that Moses could go through? And how many know that he's still opening doors and making a way where there seems to be no way? And you see, here's the thing. When God says go, he already has made provision for you to have more than enough anointing, more than enough power, more than enough presence. And further than that, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In the early church, Mark 16, it says, they went out, the Lord working with them, confirming the word. And you see, I really sense that this morning, Pastor David, that there are people here, the first service, the second service, God is calling you to get up, get connected, roll up your past, and make a choice to go. The city's waiting on us. Your neighbors are waiting on us. Your family's waiting on us. And we can make the choice that says, you know what, there may be barriers in the way, but I'm going to go. And as I go, God will make a way. And I take one step, I take two steps, and I take three steps, and you begin to see things open up. Will there be battles? Yeah. Will there be warfare? Yeah. But just like the guys that signed the Declaration of Independence, they made a choice and said, hey, I'm going all the way and nothing can hold us back. I believe God is looking for a church in the Bay Area to do the same thing. And I believe that church is right here where you can make that choice that says, we're going to stand up, roll up, and we're going to go do what God has called us to do. Amen? I'm finished. We're going to have communion this morning, and it's an opportunity while we drink of the cup and eat of the bread to make a decision, because the cross, Jesus already hung on the cross. It's already done. He said it's finished. And we'll show you a scripture here that talks about the importance of that. But as they're passing out communion here this morning, here, let's make some decisions, because I believe the Spirit of God is ministering to some people here. Even as my wife, in the midst of mental torment, she made a decision. You can make some decisions as well. Ushers, let's wait upon the people.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.